All right, I have Amir here from Hockey Stack. I'm stoked about this interview, dude. I've been seeing Hockey Stack everywhere. I feel like on LinkedIn, almost like out of nowhere. It seemed like out of nowhere, y'all just popped up. And I'm just wondering, so I want to ask you about Hockey Stack, obviously, and what you saw and what makes you different. But I just want to understand, like, Hockey Stack in general, right? Like, are you seeing like that same kind of like all of a sudden instant traction in the market? And what, like, what were some of the early wins that like led to getting all that visibility, do you think?
Yeah, everyone I talked to says the same thing. They kind of saw us out of nowhere, popping out everywhere. But the reality is, and I'm preparing my talk about this end of October in New York, we worked on the technology for 2 years. So normally when you start seeing a new startup, the product kind of is not there, even though the marketing can be there. But we worked on the product, especially the tracking technology, which makes us right now more accurate than any other competitor. We worked on it for 2 years. So when we started, when you started seeing us, the product was already there, and we were kind of building our GTM. I also think that we picked the right category to start with, because attribution has been traditionally, it has a bad reputation because it didn't innovate much. So we picked the attribution category to kind of like shake things up a little bit, where we can get traction and then get ourselves out of it, because it's not a big enough category to.
What did you do to like really kickstart the go-to-market?
So LinkedIn was big for us. We first started with building the foundations for SEO. It didn't work out really well. And then LinkedIn was big. Me and my co-founder started posting twice a day, every day, and kind of like adding people to our network, networking with people. And then we did that for like 9 months. After 9 months, we were still getting like 15, 20 likes maximum. And then I think it accelerated when we started hiring people. So we first started with sales and then marketing. And with that, one thing that we did really early on was using the product as marketing material. So we would launch something new every week. And then we have an in-house designer who was doing all those videos, and then we were launching them. That also made a huge effect. And then with that, also sales was getting easier, because our contracts are all annual. And when companies get into an annual contract, they want a tool that innovates during the year so that they get new features with the contract. So it was LinkedIn from the founders' profiles, and then using the product as marketing to get the early wins.
And the other piece is too, you know, you guys just launched that. It's almost like a streaming network too. What Flow. Is it called again? Flow. That's right. Yeah. Flow is super cool. And you've partnered with a bunch of different influencers in marketing to just like bring more attention to that. And I'm assuming you're using Hockey Stack to see like the effectiveness of that, right?
Yeah. So our kind of like main objectives for our marketing team is one, making marketers better at measurement and better at marketing. And the second is being a top of mind brand all the time. So we are using the Flow as like 60% education, 40% entertainment. And for the entertainment part, we are working with other influencers and marketers that people love. And for the education part, we are still working with them, but the entertainment part gets more traction, I guess, because it's not a traditional way to do marketing for enterprise software.
Totally. Yeah. I found the same thing too. I feel like people keep on saying that like B2B doesn't have to be boring. And you can see the companies that are like actually like living and breathing that ethos, and they're actually like standing out and getting real traction on channels like LinkedIn. So like, you know, companies like you, Lavender, I think the OGs were Gong and Drift back in the day, but I feel like Hockey Stack, Lavender are kind of like the next generation of companies that are really trying to like incorporate entertainment with education. Clue is another really great one that I've found. Let's take a step back really quick. Let's just talk about Hockey Stack, and let's talk about you first. So Hockey Stack in general, can you give me like the elevator pitch of like who it's for, what it solves, and like how you got the idea to actually build it?
Yeah, the idea was kind of like our desperation to understand what's really going on in our earlier startups. And then we put a bunch of times to find product market fit. So Hockey Stack is a marketing analytics and attribution platform right now for B2B SaaS companies to understand what's driving revenue across the entire journey. So we integrate with the entire tech stack, put a script onto the website, can get all the data from their marketing and sales platforms, unify it and normalize it in one place so that they can cross-reference data between different platforms, and then turn it into reports, customer journeys, real-time notifications for the sales team, etc. So one place to get all your data, cross-reference it across different platforms. And then the kind of like our unique value in the market right now is you don't need to use a BI tool, because traditionally with CDPs and other tools, you would get all the data in one place, but then you would also pipeline it to like a Snowflake and then Power BI, and then your developers would create the reports for you. Hockey Stack is completely no code, so even your interns can build reports and get insights from your data.
So traditionally, are you competing with then just like CDPs, or is it other attribution software that claim to do the same thing but with code?
We have two main competitors. One is Visible, kind of like the earliest attribution platform in the market right now. Is now Market or Measure, I think. And then the other is kind of like building it in-house with Salesforce Marketo or Salesforce HubSpot and then a BI tool.
Mm.
So those are the two alternatives. And we are mainly working with mid-market and enterprise companies. So it usually starts from like 100, 150 employees all the way to 10,000
mm-hmm.
from our customer base right now. Because before that, it's all testing and still trying to understand what really works in GTM. When it comes to scaling, it makes sense to adopt a tool like Hockey Stack.
When you're getting all the hype on LinkedIn and you're seeing people start to engage with your content more and more, at what point did you start to realize that competitors were paying attention? Like, what did that look like?
So one of our customers that didn't pick the other competitor and picked us during the onboarding process sent me an email from the competitor and a sheet they sent whenever someone mentions Hockey Stack. And on the sheet, they were like Hockey Stack competitor and then the differences. And our part was not true at all. So like if only 20%, 25% of the information there was true. So that was kind of the first signal that I thought we were shaking things up with, because the incorrect information they can easily find on our website, but they didn't. Yeah. So those were the two early signs.
So they're trying to make some noise. I feel you. Yeah. And I feel like that's like one of those things too, that we always, at least I see most consistently, is are these like one pagers or whatever of like just super inaccurate information. And that's usually like the sign where like, you know, because I feel like it can be challenging, especially with like a non-PLG company like Hockey Stack, to actually find some like really specific product information. And so it makes it really hard to, you know, make really bold claims about what a product can or can't do. Did you reach out to the competitor, or do you just kind of like brush that off, or like what's kind of your, how do you deal with something like that?
Yeah, that was a smaller competitor. So we kind of shifted gears altogether. At first, I wanted to make like a new sheet with the data and then the correct information. And then I kind of thought, if you're kind of like the best product out there, the best company out there in your category, you wouldn't punch down. So I completely ignored it. I don't know if it's the right approach or not. But during the demos, if they ask about that product and if they had a demo with that product, I kind of use our narrative against them, frame it in a way that's more for kind of like smaller companies. It's a template-based tool while we offer complete flexibility. So if you prefer that, you can go to them. But we are more for like teams that need advanced reports and want to make more out of that, the data. And we are also 3x more expensive. So we put that right in front of them. And then if they still want to continue talking, we talk. So yeah, I also had similar instances like getting demos with their customers, I think, like to get information. We did the same thing too. I think there's nothing wrong about that. But what I learned to win is the key thing is sales enablement. So as long as you seem confident and then you can frame the needs against that competitor, then you always win.
It's all in service to the customer, right? Guiding the process of helping them evaluate different providers, right? Of like attribution software. And so you have an idea of what your competitors are decent at and what they're not so decent at. And so if you're upfront with the customer and saying, hey, yeah, like here are the things that this vendor can really help you with, maybe even more so than us. If you want to continue going down that path, that totally makes sense. But if you're really looking for A, B, and C, which, you know, maybe in your conversation, you've already discussed A, B, and C, then yeah, like then I think Hockey Stack would make much more sense. I always feel like that's way better of a path to go down than jumping in and just like tearing apart the competitor, which it sounds like y'all do too.
Exactly. Another thing that I learned is before we were using kind of the traditional advice of like discovery and then setting up that next step. Whatever happens, you need to set up that next step. But we saw that if it's not the right fit, or if it's the right fit, but they still need to chat about it internally or whatever, they still need the time, maybe a couple more weeks. Setting up that next step doesn't help. It hurts because then they cancel that meeting. And then I think that from our data, at least, I think that that hurt the close rate if they cancel a meeting. So we just are like marketing and GTMs, the entire goal that we have every single quarter is to make our AEs consultants, not sellers. So they don't need to educate the people on the product because we already educate them beforehand with marketing. And then they just need to ask, answer specific questions, help them along the way. And if it doesn't make sense to continue with HockeyStack, guiding them through that process to another vendor or whatever the prospect want to do. So, yeah.
Attribution software has kind of been around for a while, right? You're not creating a new category here. And there's other kind of legacy software and status quo kind of situations happening. Do you ever do anything in the way of like buying out contracts or anything like that?
I think we did twice.
Do you let them use your product for free then up until a certain point? Or like say somebody comes up to you and they say, yeah, I would love to use HockeyStack, but I still have like 4 or 5 months on this tool that I'm using on this competitor. Like how do you go up against that?
Yeah, if it's like 6 months, we would do an 18-month contract and then start charging them after 6 months. That might be a way. Or if it's like just 2 months or whatever, they can we can buy the dot and then they can start with HockeyStack. And then we like you need to give to receive. We also get, I don't know, like in-person case studies or like a couple of referrals if you know that they are well-connected, stuff like that. Or if they're switching from a competitor that we are coming across a lot, then we ask for a specific case study or quotes. Or the best thing right now that works for us is so like 85% of our recent deals in the last quarter, they all talk to at least one customer. So that works very, very well for us. So we asked them to at least do like 4 or 5 customer interviews in their first year and then put that onto the contract.
This episode of the Healthy Competition Podcast is brought to you by the Healthy Competition Community. Whoa, can you believe that? The Healthy Competition Community is where product marketers, competitive intel practitioners, and other go-to-market pros share best practices and act as a sounding board for questions that Google can't answer. Over 1,000 messages are exchanged every month, despite there being less than 100 members in the community. Now, I'm a firm believer in prioritizing high-quality topics of conversation and building authentic connections over member count numbers. So this piece is super important to me. But with that being said, if you listen to this podcast, then you'll probably love being in the community. So join today at healthycompetition.co. That's healthycompetition.co. Now, back to the episode.
Okay, I want to pivot a little bit and talk about a couple of other exciting things that are happening at HockeyStack. So number one, I know this is a few months old, but y'all got backed by YC, which is awesome. Congrats on that. For those that aren't familiar with YC, can you just give a quick primer on why that's important and how YC can help HockeyStack? And maybe if there's any benefits that you've already seen, just shedding some light on that.
Yeah, YC is one of the, Y Combinator is one of the biggest investors in the world. I think top 10 backed companies like Twitch, Airbnb, DoorDash, Instacart, and I mean B2B SaaS, Mixpanel, Heap in the analytics space segment, all the companies that we use right now. So Y Combinator is usually the first investor, usually pre-seed or seed, with an they back the ideas and founders, not traction. And then it's like a 3-month program to accelerate your growth, accelerate your kind of like building the tool, getting the first few customers. And then there's a demo day where you pitch investors, and then there's Bookface, a platform called Bookface, just for YC founders. Think of it as like a Facebook for YC founders. And then during demo day, investors just press on a button saying like, I want to invest, and then they connect you with that investor. You get an email. So during demo day, you raise your seed or seed plus round, and YC helps companies to accelerate their and like go to market because you start with an idea and after 3 months you have the MVP. And usually from what I've seen from our batchmates, they usually sign a couple of contracts and they push for you to sign enterprise contracts because YC's belief, which I believe is any startup that don't do enterprise sales in their first year or two, they die. Mm. They see a lot of fail rate if they only do SMB, which I agree. So they push you to sign an enterprise contract in the first 3 months, which it's crazy, but a lot of the batchmates that we had did that. We were kind of like too late for YC because we already had about 50 or so customers when we did YC, but it still helped us a lot. And then you have that network for your life on Bookface with all the YC founders, their contact information, and there's a forum where you can ask questions just like Facebook. And then they're like YC special information. There's like a guide that starts from seed all the way to IPO written by YC's founders and partners.
And then, so did you also do a demo day and raise investment, or are you at that point yet, or kind of where are you at right now with YC?
Yeah, we graduated. We raised a new round recently with contribution from General Catalyst, Kleiner Perkins, NEA, a few others, and a few angels. So
that's awesome.
Thank you. So if you want to talk about the new category and new kind of like feature set, I can get into them as well.
Yeah. Let's dig into it. So like, what's the big vision then moving forward that you raised the round based off of?
Yeah, we raised the round to build the extension of attribution. So marketing analytics in general hasn't been innovating much. So we started with first touch, last touch, then went through with multi-touch attribution models, and then it stopped there. So we always wanted to build a tool that will bring marketing and sales teams together on the same page, because they're targeting different companies. Marketing is advertising towards different lists, and sales is a completely different list of accounts to do outbound on. So we want to get both teams on the same platform with same metrics, same KPIs. On the marketing side of things, we are, and as a category, we are bringing ourselves out of attribution into GTM analytics. And on the attribution marketing analytics side, we are adding goal setting, goal pacing. So you would enter your pipeline goals on HockeyStack and your spend for that quarter. We are adding forecasting. We are using your entire historic data to forecast into the future with machine learning. And then we are adding budget optimization in HockeyStack. So with marketing mix modeling, which has been used for B2C traditionally, we are bringing that to B2B and optimizing your budget using marketing mix modeling in HockeyStack. And then we are also removing multi-touch attribution models from the platform. So we will have first touch, last touch, and then we will have a predictive model that will use all your historic data again with machine learning. It will distribute the credit across different touch points by understanding what exactly made a difference. Plus the same, the last thing is lift reports. So now we have incrementality reports on HockeyStack on top of attribution that will make you understand what exactly drives revenue, the incremental revenue influence for your business. And on the sales side, we are adding we added Slack notifications recently. We are adding more features to bring the sales teams on. So it will be easier to check out account-based journeys for your recent prospects to customize your message. And then the flows to sales engagement platforms is going to be on HockeyStack.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah. That's super exciting. So when you're actually pitching this vision then to a bunch of different investors, how important is talking about the existing landscape and like what you're currently up against, like external threats and all that kind of stuff? Is like having a good understanding of like the competitive landscape super important when you're talking about that?
Yeah. So the most important thing that investors look at is defensibility of the idea and the company. So how defensible the idea and overall the company is. So in terms of, I don't think they care about the current landscape because that also gives an idea for the future. But they're looking for the kind of like vision for the next decade or so. Kind of like where this company is at right now and where it's going to be at in 10 years. So yeah, totally the current landscape matters a lot. And then also right now what I see is nobody wants to invest in MarTech.
Nobody wants to invest in MarTech? Why is that, do you think?
It's like, it's much harder to sell MarTech. Like marketing leaders leave all the time. So the new leader, if they don't want your tool, if they didn't go through the sales process because you don't have the relationship, you need to build that relationship all together from scratch, and they usually end up churning. Marketing is always the kind of like cost center. They always cut that department first. So right now, raising as a MarTech company is extremely hard.
That makes a lot of sense though too. I mean, it seems like it's not as much of an issue from like just getting your foot in the door and like actually selling the deal, but it seems like the main issue is, right? Because I think I saw a stat that said like the average tenure for a CMO, it's something like 18 months or it's pretty short. And so really the big issue is churn, I'm assuming then, right?
Yes, churn. And as I said, like marketing is the first department to cut budgets on. Mm-hmm. So you always have this like changing people in the companies and they want to cut the cost. So because it's not also sales tools are based on seats, so you can expand the account based on seats. If they hire more SDRs, if they hire more AEs, whatever, you can expand the account. But with marketing, because marketing teams are generalists more and they're leaving all the time, you don't really get to expand. So on all aspects, it's a tough business to be in. But I think we made decent progress to change that because the first step is proving out your impact to the business. That helps us compared to other MarTech companies. And then,
well, totally. I mean, the closer you can get to revenue, right, the better chance you have of sticking with the company, right? And which in Hockey Stack is about as close to revenue as you could get. I mean, you said it yourself, punching in like all the goals for pipeline every single month, and you're trying to move forward into, you said you're expanding beyond just like marketing attribution and getting closer to sales. I think those are a couple of really important keys there.
Exactly. I think we are in a unique position as a MarTech company, which helped us to grow and to raise because we can essentially pipe all the data back to sales so that they can create more opportunities. But in general, MarTech is hard.
Who are some other MarTech vendors that you think are doing really well right now that you're inspired by?
Yeah, Lavender is our close friends. We're friends with their founders and marketing team. Lavender is doing really good stuff. And our head of content, their head of content, Todd, they're really close friends too. So they had an agency before. So we have the kind of like same essentials, same fundamentals for our marketing strategies. I like what Gong did when Devin was there. I don't know if they're doing the same things right now. Gong Labs, something that we are trying to do here as well, because we have lots of data that we can research on. Chris Walker, Refine Labs, I like them a lot, and I'm close
with Chris. The godfather of LinkedIn marketing, yeah.
Exactly. I'm close friends with Chris as well, and they put our fundamentals in place too. Yeah, the last one might be Clary, because they're in an enterprise segment, and we are playing in the enterprise segment too. And for enterprise, creating good content is hard, because if you create something that they don't like, they really hate it. And Outreach, like if you're using content in Outreach, if it's like too entertaining or if it's a type of content that they don't like, that turns them off. So Clary, I think, has a balance which we are striving to get as well. Yeah, those are the ones that I like in B2B SaaS.
Nice. All right, man. Well, let's wrap up and let's talk a little bit. Last kind of wrap up question, where they can follow you, where they can find Hockey Stack. And then the last question, if listeners are to go to Flow, what would be the first show that they should check out? Like, what's your favorite?
Yeah, so you can follow us on LinkedIn, Hockey Stack, and on the Flow. So Diverse Marketing in the World is really good. Kenny Dashboard is a Hockey Stack series in which we build reports in 90 seconds. That's good if you're interested in that kind of stuff. Roasted is really good. John Berg from Cognizant is doing a paid ads performance marketing series. It's like a advanced series. And then it's the last one, Rocket Fuel. Camille and Jay, they're doing a marketing show for small marketing teams, which I believe is a feature. So
nice.
Yeah,
love that. Hey dude, I really appreciate you for joining the podcast and for talking so transparently about the business, about YC, about your latest round, which congrats again. I'm super stoked to hear all that's coming for Hockey Stack, and so I hope for nothing but the best for y'all.
Thank you so much.
Hey, you made it to the end of the episode. I have one small favor for you now. If you could please rate this podcast 5 stars wherever you're listening to it, that'd be super helpful for me. For Spotify, you can only leave a review on the mobile app, and you can do that on the top of the Healthy Competition podcast profile. And for Apple Podcasts, you have to scroll to the bottom of the show's page and click write a review. Each podcast episode takes about 5 hours of my time from beginning to end, while reviewing it should only take about 5 seconds of your time. Plus, you'd be making my day. So thank you so much in advance, and see you in the next episode.